Father, we pray this evening, as our hearts yearn to hear from you and of you, that our minds are further stabilized and established in the truth that is found in your Son, that you shape and sharpen and guide our vision, these sessions, to fulfill your grand vision in the earth. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to split this into two sessions. Or make it very direct. Every church, I've said it to you over and over again. When you look at the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, you will discover that one thing it points out, and all the Pauline epistles, churches have uniqueness. We have to accept it. That's why I always tell you, I say it often, this is Saints Community Church. I say it so that you hear it. And I tell people, I'm the only one that was ever a first timer. This is Saints Community Church. This is how we'll do it. Seven letters to seven churches that nothing was repeated to anyone. They had their own uniqueness. And uniqueness. They had their own leadership. Oh! So ask me, he said, how come your leaders all wear suit and tie? So what's the problem? He said, I'm just thinking. Like other ministries. I said, did you not see the difference in the names? Why are you not asking us to dress like that other ministry? Why this one? There's another ministry here where they wear white. You ask us to wear the white. Why are you talking about this one? So, every church, they're unique. Every church. The book of Revelation shows us that. Sometimes there will be similar tendencies. Look at Ephesus, for example. Ephesus was known to be very prolific in church planting, evangelism. Galatia was struggling with legalism. And false teachers had come in. Corinth had a lot of carnality, strife. The Philippian church had loving and caring people. The churches sometimes are in different stages of growth, having different challenges. Even within this Saints Community Church, we have churches with their unique challenges. Uniqueness. You don't say, well, because this is Yaba, then those in the crowd must be like that, or you got to. No. Different challenges. Somebody said something to me that blessed me. He said, it's funny that people who leave Nigeria go to America and then see how the churches are, how the interior, how the buildings are. And then the fellow will now come to Nigeria and say, we want to do this. Without taking cognizance of the fact that that is how their public buildings are like that in America. But he comes here, then in the midst of shanties, a slum, he put in a temple of Solomon. Forgetting the uniqueness of where he's coming from. So it's odd today, you find an exquisite church building. People come in there to get AC and go back to their homes for fun. Which means that that church is detached from that society. So we have a duty to have this clear understanding. Different churches, different challenges. Sometimes different sets of people are there. Sometimes I'm not talking about doctrine. Mm-mm. Practices, instructions will differ. And just like that, in this local assembly, there will be things laid on my... There's no way God will lay something in my heart for my friend's church. Has who? It can be for my friend. and I just share with him, and he has the right to throw it away or take it. But here, the pastor of the church has that responsibility to know what the Lord is saying, to know what the church ought to do. Therefore, in your individual ministries, churches, local churches, fellowships, you have that delegated responsibility that came from Jesus to me, to you, to also know what is unique about where you are. Some of you, for example, where you pastor, have more elitist people. Others, you have people that are more of the what we call the lower class in society, that require some extra work when it comes to communication. So there are different uniqueness. There are different things that are unique to different people. As we maintain semblance of doctrine, semblance of spirit and character, we must realize that churches, local assemblies, based on where they are, sometimes will differ in their approach to issues. That must be very clear. Same way to this local assembly. So you can see that some people come to church and they put this scripture on the screen. We won't do that here. Why? It's totally against my training. Totally. Come to church with your Bible. Simple. That's what we are saying. Don't say, well, it doesn't like technology. How does that answer what I'm saying? So each church will have such uniqueness and such as we have. So as we read through scriptures, we also will read through the examples of who we can cite today as servant leaders. I was going to say this. Paul wrote arguably 4 letters to leadership. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. 4 letters. One of the letters he did was Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 9. 4 letters to leaders, 9 to the general church, listen carefully, and the ones to the general church also included instructions for leaders. Peter spoke to leaders in 2 Timothy, 2 Peter 2 and 1 Peter 5. John wrote 2 letters to leaders, Gaius and the elect leader. Writer of Hebrews dedicated Hebrews 11 to the elders. Hebrews 13 spoke about leadership. James gave instructions to the elders. James 5:14 and 15. The instruction at which the assembly James 2 was the leader. Book of Revelation to the angel of the churches. So we must place premium on addressing leaders. Leaders here refers to servant leaders. Those who lead by serving others. I'll run through 2 examples and I purposely printed 2 teachings we have done on this. Lessons from David. David was a king and leader. When you hear about servants and leaders in scripture, David is one of such examples. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And verse 17. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. Notice how David is described, not as a king, his servant. From following the hills, great with the young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel his inheritance. He's not referred to as a king here, but as a servant. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That's called a king. Even though he was a king, but he was seen as a king who was serving. Acts of the Apostles. Paul describes David, Acts 13 and verse 36. For David, after, come there, Acts 13:36. For David, after he had ruled his generation, that one is there, served his own generation. So, was David a servant of God? A servant leader. A servant leader. We have lessons from David. It's in our book to the young minister. The Facebook post I did, I remember I was in America when I wrote it. I was coming back to the country. That should be 2014, I think. When I wrote to the young minister. It was a period I think I missed my flight, so I was trying to get a flight. So I missed it. I said, okay, let me use the opportunity to just write exhortations. It became a book. It has been a blessing to many people. What are the lessons we can learn from a man like David? So when you are in leadership and you ignore David's experiences, you are stupid. You can't ignore it. Someone asked me, say, I listened to your teaching to the cell leaders and you were talking about Joshua, you were talking about this, talking about that. He said, but I thought we were talking New Testament. I said, what are you even talking about? That's leadership. You are serving God. And they dealt with people. When the apostles are writing about leadership and service, that's what they are referring to. Lessons we have from David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. David was not the best in the pack. If you look at the story, when Samuel came to the house of Jesse, Jesse did not consider David as fit. No. They thought it was Eliab. So Eliab showed up. He had all the features. He had everything. He had all the features, sorry. And the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, look not on the countenance, on the height of his stature, 1 Samuel 16, because I have refused him. God refuses people. Jesus said, he who exalts himself, God will exalt. God will what? Abase. He that abases himself, he will exalt. Or humbles himself. This man is refused. If there's anything you must reject, it's pride. Pride is when you feel you should not have been said that to. You should not have that. I mean, I'm beyond that. Pride. I have refused. The Hebrew language is like somebody who failed the test. And of course, the natural choice was Eliab. He wasn't taken. Jesse went through all his children. The servant asked a question. Are these all your children? Imagine someone is asking you, are these all your... The guy was too sure. He had a word of knowledge. Are these all your children? The man said, oh. Verse 11 and 12. Then remained yet the youngest. Behold, he keeps the sheep. That resonated. That's something about the word of knowledge. As he said that, he resonated. I have, you are, go and call your husband. I have no husband. You have rightly said. Sometimes the response of the person will just spark a light. He keepeth the sheep. That resonated with Samuel the prophet. God is the shepherd. Genesis 48, verse 15 and 16. The first minister in the gospel, in scripture, Abel was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. As soon as he said that, come! He said, we are not going to sit down till he comes. So, the word of knowledge sometimes can resonate from the person's response. Are you following what I'm saying here? As soon as he said that, then Moses came. Here was a fellow whose father did not even recommend him. So, being rejected by men is not an excuse. Not at all. It was his father's sheep. But notice something that happened in the next chapter. In case you didn't know what happened to Eliab, David now took food. Now, look at David's traits. How many of us will they anoint as king and you will still be taking food to the war front? How many of us? How many of us will be sitting in front like this as pastors? Seeds, if I remember years ago, most of you know the story. A sister, we used to meet at 1A, Edmund Crescent, my father and mother-in-law's house. That is our whole ministry. Sales commission had not started there. We just did believers convention. So we sat there, it was 2005 or 2006, it was 2005. And we were in the house, I was just talking about the believers convention. And then the sister said, you know, I see a day when pastor will be preaching, there will be people all over this place, all over, and we'll be sitting in front and the TV will be on us. I will be nodding our head. I said, I said, tell me how the meeting blessed you. That was how it blessed her. But the truth of the matter is, what she said has come to pass. And more of it is coming to pass. But you know the problem? That was where our eyes were. This is a fellow who was chosen as king over Israel. So, being youthful is not an excuse. He's young enough to be exuberant. The next day, he should have changed his shirt. Started working differently. Years ago, I chose some people to pastor. We founded about 6 or 7 churches. House of Faith, Harvest House, Saints Court, Word House, forgot the last one, Word of Faith Christian Center. I founded them 24 years ago. Yeah? We put people, as soon as I laid hands on them, the mode of walking changed. What? One of my boys quickly helped me get something. He sent somebody else. Emoji. Emoji. A man is chosen as king. He took the Lord. And the Spirit of God came upon him from that day. He took lunch. Brother Eliab, you are now a man of God. You preach on TV. You see your elder brother. Or you see your uncle. and your two shoulders are like shoulder pad. You are mad. The grace of God should make you humble. This was a guy. David wasn't thinking of being a king. He went and took snack to his elder brothers. You could see that thing continued in his life. May pride never enter your heart. Pray for yourself. Come on. May pride, sit down, keep sitting. May pride never enter your heart. Pride. You no longer can serve food. You no longer can do what you used to do normally before. Why? You are now a pastor. Pray for yourself. Amen. Look at one more thing before you pray again. Who sent him there? His father. The same man who said, keep sheep, he sent him. And he went. Who called him for Samuel? His father. We often forget. Even though Jesse said that he was born from another woman, even though Jesse forgot him, but Jesse was still the one who recommended him. And that is why till tomorrow, what is the name of Jesus? The root of Jesse. God honored Jesse. Never ever, ever become proud. Pray for yourself one more time. Amen. You said here, I put it here, how can a God's general take food
to my subjects.
Just like the apostle came back from the outreach. Jesus said, oh yeah, go and gather that fish. Thomas, what do you think about this? I know Pastor tried to train us. Well. He should have just sent us to pray, not fish.
Here, David the king served.
Reverend Friday Dowell, the man I served under in the 90s, said, great men are often revealed in little things. Little men are revealed in great things. The greatness of great men is when you find them doing insignificant things. I love to see people preach and teach well. But I love to see those who preach and teach well do normal things.
To serve.
So look at what Eliab said to him. In case you didn't know what Eliab was. By verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. He said, why did you come down here? Already Eliab was full of bile. That's him that happened. Same that happened to Cain. He said, I know the pride of your heart. Then what did he say? Why have you left a few sheep? Who asked him what the number of the sheep was? So, somewhere, look at what I'm about to say. Jealousy. Unnecessary. If you like, eat locks. Eat premier. Eat joy. It doesn't change God's mind. See, the fact that you don't like someone doesn't change anything. Eat everything you should eat. He's already uncomfortable. He's looking at it. What's wrong with this small boy? And all of that. But that changes nothing. Absolutely nothing. David kept his father's sheep. So when they accused him, he said, no. What have I done wrong? In verse 20, we read that he left the sheep with the keeper. And if you observe his commentaries when he spoke with Saul, he said to Saul, the king, he said, when the bear came and the lion came, I fought them. Why would you fight a lion over sheep, few sheep? Why would you fight a bear over few sheep? His father was not a rich man. I mean, when you see bear, you see sheep, you run. Sheep will answer. But when you see a man run for fishing, he will run as a king. Faithfulness is on little things. Oh, let me leave this cell. Let me leave this fellowship. I'll go elsewhere. Let me just abandon this for now. Such people never amount to anything. God rates and ranks faithfulness in little things. Who will be fighting bear over few sheep? Ah, a lion killed him. For what? Oh, few sheep. That means he put his life on the line for a house fellowship. He put his resources on the line for an insignificant thing that God looked at. And said, this man is a man after my heart. Things that matter to men doesn't matter to God. And the things that matter to God do not matter to men. He learned pastoring by discipling two folks. He wasn't eager for social media crowd. If he had run from the lion and the bear in the teen's church, was led to pray as a house fellowship leader, ran away for secular duties as a cell leader, he would never have faced Goliath. As you grow in leadership, you'll be facing bigger tests. One test passes you for another. Your leadership is always tested by tests. The test of pride will come. The test of gold and glory will come. The test of women will come. The test of fame will come. The test of personal challenges will come, which sometimes can include finances. You must
pass the test.
See, your experiences are shaping you for much more leadership. Hear this. Leadership in God's kingdom, just like Jesus became our Lord through hell and high waters, it is birthed by unfortunate, unexpected, difficult moments. Anyone can preach God's word inconvenience. It takes a man of conviction to preach God's word even when he personally has most of his expectations unmet. Personally. And you see, when David got to Saul, and Saul gave him his garment, his armor, go and fight. He said, I cannot go in this. I have not proven them. I can't go in it. Absolutely. Look at me, everyone. Look at me, eyeball to eyeball. You must have your own experiences. You must have your own depths. You, as much as I'm your pastor, thank God for being your leader, but I will, can only lead you well if I lead you to have your own experiences. That's why, as a leader, it's good to let people face their fires. Someone told me, sir, what do I do in this my church? I said, I'm not going to counsel you. Go and pray. This should drive you for fasting. Say, for how long? I said, till the solution comes. He said, sir, but the way it is, things can go bad. It will get better after. Have your own experience. So whenever we are singing a song, simply devoted, or your song, wherein this world, we're not of this world. You are not carried away by the sonorous. It will mean something to you. You see tears drop from your eyes. Now you are leading. So you must have your own experiences. Your own difficult moments. Your own moments where you have to make a choice. Where is your own experience? What's your experience? You have 5 people. 10. 15. 12. What's your experience? Like what I'm about to say now. If you give lesser commitment to 20 people than a man who pastors 20,000 is pastoring, you can never have 20,000. Let me repeat what I said again. If you give a lesser commitment to people under you because they are 10, lesser than somebody who pastors 10,000, God will never commit 10,000 people to your hands. It will never happen. You must show commitment to 5 people like they are 5,000. I have maintained by the grace of God the same attitude. I'll have to special meetings at camp meetings, most camp meetings. There are times like that I will go on what you call beauty beauty at those camp meetings. And I've gone for days. Bury myself in fasting and prayer. Why? That's how I've been for almost 30 years. When you were not there. I didn't know anybody here. Sometimes the special meeting I'm preparing for were just 20. Same thing. I did Dunamis meetings 1994. Oh, I'm right, yeah? 2 weeks. We taught. We planned 3 days. It became 2 weeks. Because I asked them to do the meeting before I came, so I went for a camp in Ibadan. I came back, so I asked Brother Shehu Odesoya. Shehu Odesoya, brother, I've been born in North Africa, but yeah. Shehu Odesoya started the meeting, so they were just praying. So they had started the first day, so it was 2 days. By the time I came, passing a prayer, I said 2 weeks. I was teaching from morning till evening, every day. And I was fast. There are times that all I had was, listen carefully, all I had was water. And then at that point, I was not staying at home. They had given me the level of fellowship. So I was staying, sometimes I would stay in the bakery, at times I would stay in an uncompleted building. I didn't tell anybody, I didn't say, brethren, you know where I stayed. Is it you? Oh, Kole. Was one sister, Sister Tayo Aroyehu, that followed me, because she was part of the fellowship. She said, let me follow this brother. He will just go and disappear. He will teach us till 7, 8, then he will just disappear. So she followed me. She said, you can go. She said, no. Enter, let me see. I said, don't worry. I said, actually, I'm not going there. I said, where are you going again? I said, this is where I sleep. What do you eat? Depends. You don't have any. And you come again tomorrow morning? She quickly went to organize food. So that culture is still my culture. I won't change it. Wait upon the Lord. If you call me to preach for you, back there. Even if we are just 5 people out there, I will preach my life. Anywhere you put me, I will stay. I won't go out to visit a friend. You will never see me do it. Or some of your pastors follow me to travel. My friend here, Pastor Somi, follows me. When we go, hotel, pulpit, pulpit, hotel, we escape. I don't visit. I don't go shopping. Nothing! Simple practice. Dr. Ibrahim Damina is a friend. I have never asked him, where do you live? Not once. Other people have come. He said, Pastor Chris, I didn't come to visit you. You called me to preach. I'm done preaching. I skipped to the back door. The culture I've had where we make in city room. Where and what have you done to those under you? And whatever, because I know that by the grace of God, we are going to have camp meetings and millions will come. Me, I know. Who knows that here? I know. But you know what? The millions will come from anywhere. If I begin to treat those now, and now I'm now lazy. I go by, do you know something? I still shake. If I did last camp meeting, I was shaking at some point. What am I going to preach? Me that right now, I can give you 100 different teachings without checking the Bible. But I chose to just say, the person you should fear the most is the person that sent you. Are you delivering what he sent you to do? Because if people's lives are not changing, then you are not carrying out the ministry. Every meeting you must be fresh. What did I say? You must be fresh. You cannot carry yesterday to today. Fast. Cut me. Some of those nights where I'll lay hands on everybody, I'll still be fasting. And there are times like that. Those of you know. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., this last camp meeting. 3 a.m., I was still away. 4! Stayed up praying. Think through what I was going to teach. Lord, is there something you want me to emphasize? Throughout. I did it when we were 2, when we were 3, when we were 4, when we were 5. Where I will pray. From Alakpare to Ikorodu. Ikorodu, I'll pray sometimes, go to Ogijo, come back. Same style. This last camp meeting, I went through Ogiri. I went into Peru. I walked back. Many world changers conferences. I will walk around. I will get to Shagam. From Shagam, I'll go to Ogiri. In Peru, I'll just be walking. Culture. Hours! I'm on the road. I've had encounters where at night, some vigilante said, I'm here in Jesus' name. Culture. Same style.
wear in your own armor.
Where? Someone told me, one of you. So I'm thinking maybe I should drop in a cell. I should now go and get better and come back. I said, you will never get better. Going in the tower is a lack of consecration. Give it any excuse. It's not my jail. It's not my head. It's because of my... Keep quiet! Reverend Ezekiel, CPM General Overseer, he has been ill for a while. Every week, 3 times a week, you see preachers. What's your excuse? I was telling your pastors. Pastor Kumu is going to be 80 next year. Or is it this year? I think it's this year. 80. Crusade, outreach, discipleship, revival hour. 4 times a week. You want 70. It's like I said, no, my time is so choked up. And you begin to complain. As you complain, what happens to you? You begin to drop off in the grace of God. You begin to struggle. I've told you. Watch what you say. Listen. It's not about people being there. Watch what you say even when you are alone. Don't say stupid things. Are you hearing? Where's your arm? Where's your experience? And we see one more. Where's your experience? It's not just making noise. It's God. You pray. You believe God. That's all I know. When things were tough, when people ran away, the only thing I did was pray. God, I know you come. I didn't come. I know what I was going to do. I knew what I was going to do with my life. I know what you... I knew you called me, so I'm not bothered. That's all. It's those that were not called by God that begin to hustle. I don't have a reason to do it. I don't have good propositions. I've never done it in my life. And I didn't know that people can be very desperate. One of the first challenges I faced in my life was in 95. They started this global ministry. So the head of ministry said, Robbie, what? I think... You are the person looking at, and he was saying it publicly. And he also said, you are our new director. So. He said, in fact, me, I'm the leader. But when it comes to the word, you have the key. That's what he said. You have the key of knowledge and wisdom. So I said, thank you. Stupid me. And I keep short. I acted like Joseph. I said, what I see the Lord say. We're going to have a meeting. Rivers in the desert. We're going to do this and that. As I was saying it, I didn't know my brethren were angry. So I'll go and share with them. Guys, let's wake up to this thing. Let's stand up. You say, as I leave, you say, who is he? Who is he? Is this one? I didn't know. So we put on the program. I was just reversing in the desert. I see in the meetings. I'll be the only one closing my eyes. In prophecy, I see rivers will flow. And then when it flows, and it'll spring forth. They'll say, amen. And the amen is out there. So we said, rivers in the desert. Who are singing, there's gonna be a great, awakening. There's gonna be a great revival. And Brother Frank was making a mistake. He said, come and talk. There was a time like that they went to Ghana to have a meeting. I was writing my exams. He said, we are not going anywhere till it's done. He told the people to wait. Wait till I finish it. So I went, go and teach. When they were ready for my destiny, we had organized a leaders meeting. All the workers, we filled Oriwu College Hall. We left the house together. We left together like this. We had prayed for the meeting. They didn't say anything. As I made to speak, they said, hold on, bro. They said, please stand aside. That was a prophecy. So I moved like this. Expecting to receive. We heard that so and so person took you to a herbalist. We heard. The prophecy. So you have to tell. They didn't tell me in the house. They told me for everyone. A test. You know the funny thing? All of them will not talk very well. So, the devil had used them for, what did he use them for? And God also used them. To build character. Whether I'm going to run or skip. I ran. That was the only time in my life. I was so depressed. We left from the same room. You did not mention it. We now got out. That thing so pained me. It was so depressing. How would my friends, my pals, glory to God. I was sure someone's always praying for me. So I began to pray. And the Lord said, you wanted a revival. You don't have the stamina. How would you want a revival and you won't want demons? How? You want to grow ministry? You want to implant? We read the word. And I looked into your heart. Thank God for his heart. Look at the devil too. All I see is your. We see his love. We also know the devil is there. Your plan for every man. The devil also has a plan for every man. And he will fight you dirty. He will fight you with your boss at work. He will fight you sometimes even with your spouse. He will fight with your parents. He will fight you to everything. He will throw everything at you. Through your health, your finances. Your body just break down. Boga. I shall believe in God. You are getting healed. Hello, Boga. You just get distracted. Yeah, you want to do revival? There's no stamina. You can't even pray about this. You gave up. But that was my first experience. How many years ago was that?
2 years ago.
You 2 years ago? No support system. The only person that will encourage me, Sister Beatrice, is a mere man. She just asked me a letter. I will have to go and pick my encouragement from the post office. Now you can get text. I'll go to the post office, 1033 Ikorodu. I'll go to Tailewa and go and pick the encouragement. Because she was praying. She says, I just saw that, and I was just reading it. And it's okay. Just all the brethren. They believe it. At a point, they now said, okay, because the ministry then wanted to do something with the Lateran Assembly. So Pastor Tony Bakari was supposed to, be the major sponsor, was a missionary work all over Africa. So he said, we've heard that your friend was about my friend. So your friend is, he said he's so and so. Like, if you can renounce your friend, we learned that though you are a person of honor, you renounce your friend, don't do it publicly, everybody knows he's no longer your friend, but we can work together. He now asked me to talk to his assistant pastor Chiki or something. I said, sir, forget about it. You can take your opportunity. My friend. And I walked out of Aquino Street. Christian, was this close or whatever? I just walked. I walked out. Even the guy that said, you don't see me up to the. I took my Okada. To what is that place? I gave him beside. I escaped through the back door. I said, sir. I said, I'm not thinking about it. Love, my friend. Right? Yeah, guy. You're a young man. Don't you know? I said, don't worry. I walked away. So God will open another door. A door I will require to betray my friends. I don't want it. I don't want that kind of door. Amen. To the glory of God. We are all over Africa now. I didn't have to betray anybody to do it. Just follow what I'm saying tonight. So, you have your tests. The test of loyalty, friendship. The test of commitment to the common cause. Where is your own armor tonight? Where's your armor? How can you throw it? I told you, one of you, I said, if you do it, you'll keep doing it. Stay with it. You keep doing it. They'll chase you out of your venue. There isn't any challenge. Is it new? It's not new. We've done a meeting before. Antonio was there. Pastor Ola was there. Pastor Funke was there. We were doing Holy Ghost. They came to chase us out. Abi? And I ran. I ran to the door. The man of God. I ran. We were five or six. What did we do? Did we go? We went to do it somewhere else. See, we're there. Somewhere else. We have not learned to throw in the towers. If you chase me from here, I will go there. But I must keep moving. Did you hear what I said now? They were there. If they bundled you away, I don't want to give them the entire story. You came back, the same day. Came back. The person that bundled us out is now resigning from that ministry. Are you following what I'm talking about?
You can't give up. You must have an attitude. And look, this thing will prosper. This thing will grow. This thing will impact the world.
It's an attitude you must catch. If you have not gotten that from me, then what have you gotten?
He never said that.
Somebody was opposing me at some point. Now, to my boy Brotto said, "You know Shegu very well. You will leave me alone." He does not give up. The guy said, "Oh, if it's 5 years, I'll take him on." He said, "Ah." You know, the way he said it, he blessed me. He said, "When nobody was watching us, we were like that, too. Me that will be posting poster, they'll be removing it." I'm sorry, I said, okay, so we're going to print our flyer, typewriter.
Make sure you come.
Yes, make sure you come. Want to have meeting by 6. You start follow up to bring people by 12.
House.
I will come. I know. You not think so? Drop him in the fellowship center. Before you come back, he has run away. So I started to sell. I said to Sadotun, don't go and take anybody. Just stay with this one. I now go and get a brother. I will say, sir, I'm not feeling fine. I say, in Jesus' name, you're healed. In Jesus' name, there was one. I was seeing him under the bed. Sometimes, that set of people may even go. But God is chaining you for another set of people. Did you hear me? One thing you must never do.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Where's your anger? Where is it?
I cannot go in this.
I'm not used to it. I can't. Things we taught in classrooms, the series we put on tapes, are now being watched by millions through different mouths. You know why? We didn't throw in the towel. So that's why today, this is not the beginning. We have not started. You mustn't throw in the towel. There will be tests. To anything God calls you to do, you are going to have tests. Relationships, marriage, anything. When God Himself was tested. So where are you? Wear your garment and don't drop it for any situation. David served God in this generation. Do you know something that he did? I'll close with this. I have many things to say about David. I'll continue next month on David because I have another thing I want to share with you. When the prophet said he couldn't build the house,
Do you know what he said? Left to you and I said, okay. Abi? He said, no problem. Let me pay for it. You see, wait. If they don't give you position, you will still serve. He said, he now gave over and above. Let me show you. Are you in church? Don't forget, he was told not to build them, not to build the temple. Second Chronicles. So it's First Chronicles 22. Verse 14. It said, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared, watch this, for the house of the Lord. Now, the first thing he said is that, he said, look, in verse 8, thou hast shed blood abundantly and made great wars, thou shalt not be the house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Then he gave him a son. Then he now said, look at what David now said. Behold, verse 14. In my trouble I prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, of brass and iron without weight, for which is in abundance timber also and stone have I prepared that thou mayest add thereunto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone. He says, and timber and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. So we find here, the text I'm not seeing, where he actually said he's giving over and above. I've not seen that text. I don't know why. I guess I'll show you later. He said, I have given over and above. Which means, see, he wasn't given the privilege to build the house. But when you are a servant, you are a servant. They're not the one God wants to announce. I told some people, I said, there's something that God will reveal to me. God will teach you. Somebody else will do the preaching. People will hear it first from somebody else. Let the word be preached. Doesn't matter whether you're in heaven. That's why, whether you are the one preaching or not, act like a servant. Don't take stupid excuses because you are acting like an irresponsible person. Well, is your own. Different tests. Things will happen. You didn't expect. Things will be thrown at you. You didn't expect. When I was posted to law school, my father said something for me. He said, because when he first posted me to Kano, he said, I know you will not go. Because I know your heart is full of ministry. So he said, I'm not praying. The second time I was posted, he said, I'm praying. Take it to Lagos. Because I knew you will not go anywhere. He wasn't angry, oh. Yeah, because your whole life is to preach, church. So he said it was personally. Because he wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go. So as I saw the other Lagos, yeah, I was called to that. I saw the say, I was going to give me. It was a team. I said, if they give me an a day, because I was pushing somewhere in Ibadan. I said, I won't attend. The phone said, ah! So what did you tell people? I said, whatever. It was now feast time. It was the morning. I was pretty living in Ibadan that time. So, as I got back, collected my certificate, I took up my. I went to the Supreme Court signed. Family came from a celebration. I left them. I didn't attend the celebration. I don't even know what they did. I didn't take any picture. It was weeks after that I now took picture. And I was weak there. It's somewhere else. So that in history, I was going to the airport like this. Going to the bathroom. We face the battle at night. I want to put out the battle protector. Let me now surprise you. Somebody who was in that meeting is now a member of this community in Ghana. So I remember what it was like. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You will never know what your commitment to God.
Aaron!
I don't have any picture of God to bar, except the ones I took with me that are not lawyers.
That's it.
So it's important that you know what you are doing. One thing I'm going to share before we go is when you find a ministry, see, cell fellowship, that you cannot give, you cannot fund with all you have. You are not committed to it. If you have never emptied your account for your fellowship, it's not a fellowship you are interested in. If you have never had to sell to ensure the work goes on, it won't last. Forget about it. If Pastor Jakes has to tell you to give your resources to what you are doing, see, you won't last. Nobody, look at this. They met in Jerusalem. These people came from overseas. They came to Jerusalem for Pentecost. They were not prepared to go anywhere, to stay. Just stay for Pentecost and go back. When they met salvation, for you to know the work of discipleship, you cannot go. Discipleship is not you send letters. They had to wait. Because of that, there was nowhere to stay. No food to eat. That was why they were selling the things. That's what created the need. They waited there. So when they sing some worth more than gold, they know what they're saying. They're not happy. They don't have them. You know why? They are looking for a venue that won't cost you. I don't have any. You want to do birthday party. You pick a very nice eatery. You even put people that will serve food. You want to do your fellowship. You are looking for them. You are not looking for them. You are only looking for Jesus. You have not met him.
Who taught you to raise money for burial?
Who?
Who taught you to raise money for a wedding?
What's a good girl visa?
14 hours
they raise the money.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it. Ministry, they begin to talk. Sir, you know my salary is in fact in my office is deducted. And you say you are saving money. You buy a car. You're saving money. Oh yeah, take care of it. Somebody doesn't have school fees. You are playing with the person. You have the money. You have the money. You don't need. You take people to church. And everything. I was a student. So that's watching. A student. I was paying church rent 1 year. A student. I said, I'm going to give 1 million to the gospel. As a student, I said, I started partnering capital mission and we are working from second mission. So, I'm not the kind of person you can even compare to give. I'm not. If I get scared of giving, I put my money with somebody else so that I won't get into trouble. So, how can you believe in something that you are looking for money for it? Something you believe in. You believe in something.
And if it's a woman you want to marry, you almost die to look for money. If it's a man you want to marry, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I mean, how can I? Look at this. She has to borrow. I'm here for you. She will go and take rent money. I'm here for you. GT money. So that don't worry. We are in this together.
When it comes to church, Lord, we trust in you. See your life.
Do all
for human good. You have been saying, we, that's something again. You cover the earth. Cover your bad behavior first. Believe in something. Now, you can't get pregnant. Bad day, you got belly. What day, you got belly. Church, we are praying for belly. Better pray for yourself. Are you following what I'm doing? What are you wearing? See, don't let anybody put you on that phone. You are giving for the cause of the gospel. Somebody else is not. He's buying a car every month. You don't have the same cause. Do you understand? You don't have the same cause. Believe me. Get to a point where it is your purpose for living that is the most important thing to you. You have the same cause. So, I want us to pray. How do you see the work in your hands? Pray. What is left for you to be doing now that you are not doing? As I thought, what ministered to you? Pray. What ministered to you? Because when we talk like that, the Spirit of God will use what I'm saying to address you as a person. What's the minister to you? What is being ministered to you? Do you love the flock? Do you love them? Do you talk to them like Eliab said, a few sheep? What is the Spirit of God saying to you now? As I said those things, what is He saying to you? How have you handled pressures of life? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? I shared my own. How He's dealing with me? To be more committed, more dedicated to what He has called me to do. What is He dealing with you on? What is He dealing with you on? Are you into eye service or heart service? Pray. Are there areas you have to repent? Do it now. Hallelujah. You're going to pray for yourself now. And don't stop praying for it in this service. Lord, I will not throw in the towel. Take your entire life and pray. I will not throw in the towel. This work will blossom. It will not die. Live or die, sink or swim, every terrible spirit of turning back, slowing down. I will never get tired. I will never get weary. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this hour. Oh, let me slow down a bit. It's getting too much. Pray. The blind are serving God. Deaf and dumb are serving God. Physically disabled are serving God. Widows are serving God. Widowers are serving God. Orphans are serving God. The jobless are serving God. The unemployed are serving God. Those who are yet to have children and who may never have children are serving God. Your married are serving God. The married are serving God. Grandparents are serving God. The old are serving God. Illiterates are serving God. Those who live on top of water are serving God. Those who are homeless are serving God. Pray. Every distraction against your ministry, your church, your fellowship. Pray. Hallelujah.
Now lift up your walk before God right now. Raise your two hands. Lift your walk up. I say, God, I commit this to your hands. What you have committed to me, I commit to your hands. Lift your walk up. Mention the place. Mention the church. Mention the area. Lift your walk up. Lord! This will not fall down from my hands. This is your purpose for living. This is why you are on earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, our Father. You can only do this work by trusting God. By trusting God. When things go wrong, keep trusting God. Keep trusting God. He's the one who called you. He's the one who called you. He's the one you will trust. Don't even trust yourself. Trust in the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's sit down.